Church says, amen. Today we start a new series on the anointing. We use that word. Everyone uses that word. Sometimes I wonder if we even know what it means. And we Pentecostals especially need to understand what the anointing is. The title of this series, I stole it from a series I preached probably 30 years ago, but I can't find the outline anyway, so I'm really not copying it. But I did steal the title of the series, Recipe for the Anointing. It's a great title, amen. Exodus chapter 30 and verse 22, follow with me in the word. God spoke to Moses, quote, "Take the best spices." How many know spices were a big deal back then? 12.5 pounds of liquid myrrh, half that much, 6.25 pounds of fragrant cinnamon, 6.25 pounds of fragrant cane. By the way, this is very expensive. 12.5 pounds of cassia, using the standard sanctuary weight for all of them, and 1 gallon of olive oil. Make these into a holy anointing oil, a perfumer's skillful blend. Use it to anoint the tent of meeting, the chest of the testimony, the table, all its utensils, the lampstand and its utensils, the altar of incense, the altar of whole burnt offerings and all its utensils. Every shovel was anointed. The wash basin and the base of it. Dedicate them so they'll be soaked in holiness. Woo! So that anyone who so much as touches them will become holy. That's why they didn't allow any old heathen in there. Then anoint Aaron and his sons. Consecrate them as priests to me. Tell the Israelites, this will be my holy anointing oil throughout your generations. In other words, it's still good today.
Wow.
Don't pour it on ordinary men. Don't copy this mixture to use for yourselves. It's holy. Keep it holy. Whoever mixes up anything like it or puts it on an ordinary person will be exiled. You're out of here. Wow. Pray with me. Father, in your lovely name, again, bless this word. Help me to preach your word under your anointing and your strength. And we know that your grace will be sufficient. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Let all the church say. So the anointing oil is first used to pour over, to cover all of the furniture and all of the tools and utensils that are used in the tent of the tabernacle. Amen. Nothing could go in there unless it's covered in oil. Nothing can be used until it's covered in oil. And then he says, everybody who goes in there, everybody has to be covered in oil. You can't anoint the flesh, but you're supposed to anoint the clothing that they wear, because the clothing identifies who they are. And that's what gets anointed. Well, that's deeper than y'all letting on. So that's our first kind of understanding of anointing oil. And then later we see that, you know, of course, the priests are anointed, but then later kings are anointed. Priests and prophets are anointed. Jesus comes in the New Testament, and now they're anointing people that are sick. So the anointing oil becomes something you put on people for them to be healed. and to be made whole. Praise God. And, of course, we have that. Oh, there's always oil. They keep hiding it from me. I never know where it is. It's here somewhere in that box, I guess. I don't know. But there's oil here all the time. All right. From now on, can we put a bottle of oil right here? So I always know where it is. Right? Is it right there? No, that's all right. That's all right. Yeah, I'm sure. Just pointing it out. That's you never know. Actually, now I see it. Lord, they do try to hide it from me. It's in these things. Okay. Woo! Glory to God. The proof is in the pudding. Amen. All right? Boy, that was an example of an old man, wasn't it? That's just, Lord, help us. So that's the purpose of the oil and the anointing, but let's dig a little deeper. And I want to entitle this first message, The Cookbook. Let's look at The Cookbook. And there's five things real quick, and this will be a short message, I think. Famous last words. Five things about this cookbook and the anointing oil. How many are ready? Number one, you need to understand that when there comes to the anointing, it has an order. And it has a flow to it. It goes from here to there. There's a flow to the anointing. And if we're not careful, we can cut off the flow. We can hinder the flow. A scripture that is foundational to our church that we've preached from the very beginning, four decades ago, Psalms 133, right? Verse 1, 2, and 3. That's the whole thing. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Mm-hmm. What is it like? What is unity like? It's like the precious oil upon the head, running down the beard of Aaron, running down the edge of his garments. Come on. It is like the dew of Hermon, that mountain to the north, descending upon the mountains of Zion to the south. For there, the Lord commanded the blessing. I want to live where God commands blessings, not just suggests them, not just puts them out there, but there are places, there are blessings that God commands. And if he commands it, no devil in hell can stop it. So there's that place. And it's really following the Jordan River as it goes from Mount Hermon down to the south, all the way to near Jerusalem, that flowing down from north to south. What does it mean? It means that there's order to the anointing that needs to be respected and honored. It means that God anoints the head first. Lord, I can't get an amen. This rebellious crowd, I don't know. Well, if you don't like it, it's just there. Sometimes you get these lone wolf Christians that won't submit to anybody. Come on. Don't believe in, they just believe in every Sunday they're in another church just so they can say, ta-da. And every time, you know, sometimes I hear people say, well, you know, I'm just not getting, the word just isn't preached. But if you say that in this church, you're just a liar. But I learn when people say things like that, what they really mean is, I didn't get my way. I like to interpret things properly. Sometimes people don't get their way. They think they're the head. They think God only speaks to them. But there is a problem in a church when the pastor himself is disconnected from God. When he's not acting as the head, but he's acting as a dictator. When he wants his own way. Come on. And it happens all through the chain of command. When people get all about themselves instead of what God wants, it breaks the flow of the anointing of God. There has to be unity in the house. If we want to live under a corporate anointing, then we all need to be in this together. Agree together, pray together, stand by each other. Amen. We can't just have our way all the time. Oh, my God, help us in this place. There's an order and there's a flow to the anointing. You know, it would bless you to bless the head. Once a year we have that pastor appreciation. They're like, oh, do we have to do that? It's all about the pastor today. Listen, even if you're selfish and carnal, it would be to your advantage to be good to the head. Because some things will never get to you unless it flows to you. I know you're chewing on it. I know you're chewing on it. But I believe it's the truth. There's a flow to God's anointing. Number two, the anointing is a covering for the glory and the presence. It is said in Jewish tradition that if somebody other than the high priest, who's the only one anointed to go into the Holy of Holies, if somebody went in there, he would die. Rumor has it, I don't really know if it's true or not. Some people say it is, some people say it isn't. But they say they would tie a rope to the priest just in case he messed up in there. Because nobody can go in and get the body. So they... if he died, they would say, oops. They'd pull his carcass out of there. I don't know if that's true, but it does make sense. Because there's no way. Well, until they appointed another new high priest. I don't know how long that takes. But they would tie a rope to him. Because you can't go in there and touch things unless you're anointed. Unless you're anointed. It was a covering. In fact, it said everyone who touched it became holy. When you touch something that is, by the way, not just somebody, but something that is holy, then you're holy. That's a powerful thing. Amen. We need to hug each other more. It's a covering. In other words, God said, I'm not sending my glory into that tent until everything is covered. And I believe God is saying the same thing today. I'm not sending my glory. I'm not sending my power till everything's covered. What is that scripture? It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of an angry God. We need the anointing of God. I think a lot of churches aren't experiencing the presence of God because there's no anointing, no covering there. Amen. Does that make sense? Amen. Turn this up so I don't have to yell as loud. Or turn it up so I can yell. It's a covering for the glory and presence. More. Give me more. Number three. It's not to be poured on flesh or an outsider. You remember the high priest wore that kind of a cook's hat? They would pour it over his clothing. I think perhaps it would go down his face and so forth. Talks about the beard. But you don't pour it on flesh. But there's a special significance to us here in the New Testament. Don't anoint people that are living in the flesh. Sometimes people call themselves to ministry and want the church to approve. Can't y'all see I'm called? Not really. We only should anoint that which God has called. And whether it's singing or preaching or teaching or whatever, altar work or street work, whatever the ministry, there needs to be an anointing. But don't anoint people that are not called or ready for that ministry. Once you anoint them, they're anointed. But listen, this is why pastors, Lord, this is going to get rough. Have you ever heard of pastors that are secretly running around with the piano player for months, maybe a year, and he's in the pulpit every Sunday, seemingly under the anointing? It's because God doesn't take back his gifts. But what a penalty, what a price those people will pay for preaching under stealing, really, an anointing from God, and really, they're just faking it. God will bless his word. I've seen sinners speak the word, and God honor it. I've seen it. But woe to that person who is living under anointing when they're really living in the flesh. Don't pour oil on the flesh. Wow, can't really outdo it or undo it. Leads us to our fourth point. See, I'm almost done. Only one. But that fifth point, you know. Help me, Lord. Or maybe not help me, Lord. I don't. Number four, the anointing is not to be faked. If you knew some of the inside information I know about preachers and churches that have no anointing and no power, no glory, but they've learned how to fake it. They've learned how to work emotions. Come on. I remember early in our ministry, we were in the old sanctuary. Somebody came by visiting, an expert. And he said, "Preacher, you need to sing faster songs." Why? Because that gets them going. Okay. You know, I get it. Emotions. If they sing a song you like, if it's a faster song, you're not falling asleep or want to sit down. Right? But that's at an emotional level. That's not operating at the spiritual level. When you operate on a spiritual level, you can sing the draggiest old song you want, and the power of the Holy Ghost can just fall in the house because everyone's operating in the anointing and not the emotion. And we've got a lot of preachers who know how to manipulate people's emotions, but they're not really plucking on the anointing. Hallelujah. There's something, I don't know what the penalty will be for standing before God's people and faking the anointing and manipulating people's hearts and emotions. I don't want to stand before God like that. I want to stand before God and say, I did everything I could. And when they wouldn't respond, it's their fault. Go talk to them. On the judgment day, you may not want to line up behind me. I don't know. It's like Moses. They did it. I didn't. How many are still with me? Well, let's get to point number five. The anointing isn't just a simple covering. I really went over and over and over and over with over the years. What is the anointing? How does it work? What is its purpose? And we use the word so lightly. We attach it to everything, but we sometimes don't understand it. And we know in the Old Testament it was used to cover things so that the glory can fall. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I understand that. But it's more than that. Let's go to Acts chapter 10, verse 38. Look at Jesus. And we understand how God, what? Anointed. Even Jesus had to get anointed. He wasn't anointed until he started his ministry. Come on. I don't know what little miracles he may have done as an 8-year-old. How many know he might have been a little ornery? I don't know. You know, when you levitate your dad, that's not appropriate. You know, that's just... How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth, and here it goes, with, what did he anoint him with? There's the key. He anointed him with the Holy Ghost and with power. Woo! And that allowed him to go about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. The anointing allows God to walk with you. Hallelujah. He anointed, this is very key, this is what helped me so much. He anointed him. If he stopped right there, we wouldn't know. But he anointed, with the Holy Spirit and power. It was in the anointing. So the Holy Spirit, the anointing, is more than just a covering, apparently. And what helped me? Well, let's go one more. Luke chapter 4, verse 18 and 19, familiar passage. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Why? Because he's anointed me. I have the Spirit because I'm anointed. I'm anointed because I have the Spirit. That allows me, empowers me to preach the gospel to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted, proclaim liberty to captives, recovery of sight to the blind, set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim jubilee. The Old Testament once every 50 years, but in the New Testament, jubilee is every day. Woo! The acceptable year of the Lord. So here's what the Lord told me, and I'll be quiet and sit down. He said it's not just a covering. The oil isn't just something you pour over something. He said it's like the oil in your engine. It completely covers the moving parts. Y'all, Lord, they're not getting it yet. Okay. It covers the moving parts within the engine. Am I getting too technical? How many know what happens if you don't put oil in your engine? How long, can anyone tell me how long your engine will run without oil? A few minutes? Will it run that long? None of you were that stupid? Hallelujah. She's not here. Okay. Is there anything wrong with the engine? Does it have all the right parts? Are all the parts in the right place? Is every screw screwed down? Everything tight? Well, I know a few have a few screws loose, but thank God your engine will still work even with a few screws loose. Some of you don't even get that, but I got it. I'm happy. Amen. Every church has a few screws loose. Come on. Don't amen that too much and don't look around. All right. Don't turn around and say, hey, it's talking about you. Don't do that. So everything's in place. Everything's made correctly. Everything's matched up. The engine is perfect, except it won't run unless you have oil in it. I mean, it'll run, but it'll burn up. It'll all fuse together. You know why church people don't get along? Because there's no oil between them. If there's no oil, that causes friction. And friction causes heat. And heat causes fire. And I don't mean Holy Ghost fire. I mean burn the church down fire. Come on, church. We cannot work together without being covered in oil, because we will get on each other's nerves. Look around. There's only one reason all of us are together here. There is no other reason there's only one reason for all of us to be together. I mean, I'm looking around, I'm thinking, I wouldn't be with that one. I looked up to make sure I wasn't. There's only one reason all of you came here today. It's because we all share a buddy. We all have a friend called Jesus. Amen. We're all in the same family. Hallelujah. We don't look alike. We don't even act alike. We don't have a whole lot in common sometimes. But that one thing we do have in common is Jesus Christ. And that's enough for me. Praise the Lord. Come on, give him the best shout of the morning. Woo! Praise God. Give me some more volume. Amen. Put that on 10 and just let her go. Woo! Praise God. Are you hearing what I'm saying? We'll get along better if we're all anointed. We can work together if we're all anointed. The church gets its mission done if we're all anointed. The power can come. Amen. What is the anointing? It's the oil in your engine. It's the air in your tires. It's the water in your window washer. Come on, church. It's the power in your power steering. It's the voice on the radio. It's the air conditioning and the heat. Amen. It's everything you need to keep that car moving and comfortable. My God, give him a praise for the anointing. Wow, praise the Lord. Isn't God good? God is so good. 1 John chapter 2, verse 27 says this. But the anointing, which you have received from him, abides. It doesn't come and go, folks. Once you get the anointing, you have the anointing. And you have the power to touch others and make them holy. Touch their, not physical touch, but a spiritual touch can make others holy. You're holy because the anointing has set you apart. You're not holy because you keep all the rules. You're not holy because you're a do-goody, do-gooder. You do good. A goody two-shoes. Never understood that term. Never understood that. Some of you never heard it. Must be a Minnesota thing. I don't know. I'm losing my mind. Jesus, help us. It abides in you. And you do not need that anyone teach you. Now, that doesn't mean you know it all. Doesn't mean we don't need each other. But it just means you always have the ability to go right to God. That anointing gives you that connection that you don't have to have anybody necessarily to teach you this or that. You can actually be taught by the Holy Ghost. I can personally testify to that after I got saved. Amen. I didn't have a spiritual father. I didn't have anyone to set me down. I was in the United States Navy. I lived on board ship with a bunch of heathens. You understand what I'm saying by heathens? No. I mean, some of the stories I tell you. They call me Rev. Hey, Rev. But watch this. The Holy Spirit
from day one, began pouring things into my spirit. Yeah, he took that old Catholic teaching, all those Bible stories, but he began to put them together. I read through the Bible 6 times front to back the first year I was saved. 6 times cover to cover. And the Holy Spirit just putting that in me. The Holy Spirit. I didn't have too many people. You know, I would. Eventually, we got back to the States, and I started attending a church, and I had a preacher, and I had a. they didn't last very long, but, and I had a Sunday school teacher that was very good, but that's just an hour a week. You know, that or 2 hours a week. That's all. But the Holy Spirit, I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit could be your teacher. Don't sit around and say, man, that preacher didn't preach anything. I didn't learn anything today. That's because you didn't want to learn anything. Sometimes you think you're better than other people is why you don't learn anything. I'm not talking to any of you. All I'm saying is you have the Holy Ghost. Whew. It doesn't mean you know everything. It just means you have access. He can teach you all things. Say all things. Woo, hallelujah. And is true and is not a lie. And just as it, the Holy Spirit, has taught you, you will abide in him. You will abide in him. My God, hallelujah. Stand to your feet. It will teach you everything you need to know. What a Holy Spirit. There's no God like that.